Hey, good morning, Overflow. It is a beautiful, beautiful morning. So grateful that it's now April. Hopefully the snow is behind us, but this is Michigan. So you never really know. But just so grateful for the opportunity to continue to study out of God's Word. We've been in a phenomenal series as of late. There is more. There's more to this Christian journey that we have committed ourselves to, those who are part of this sacred community. And so grateful for the words that have been shared. The first week, Pastor Elizer's taught us about the resurrection power and how the resurrection power of Jesus is transformative, and is transformative in a way that gives us more forgiveness, that we can offer forgiveness to others and let go of shame and guilt and anything that holds us back to be able to offer and extend forgiveness. The second week was more love. Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John and other Gospels how it is our responsibility as believers to embrace more love, love for God as well as love for others. For it's impossible to say that we truly love God if we do not love others. And last week, we talked about unity, more unity. The resurrection power of Jesus gives us more unity. Jesus' prayer in the Gospel of John was this, simple. Father, I pray that they be one, as you and I are one. And today, we are talking about the resurrection power of Jesus that gives us more of his Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to not only change us and transform us individually, but allows us to help others transform. And I would like to call your attention to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14. Starting at verse number 16, we will go to 17, and then we will jump 10 verses and go to 26. And it reads from the easy-to-read version, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. In some translations, you will see comforter, to be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth. The people of the world cannot accept him because they don't see him or know him. But you know him. He lives with you, and he will be in you. Let's go to verse 26. But the helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I have told you. This helper is the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. When we read the later part of the Gospel of John, John gives us a picture of the days before the crucifixion. And John, and it's befitting that it would be John, who's known as the beloved disciple, really gives us the intimate and personal details of Jesus' conversation with his disciples. Whereas the other gospels focus on events, the Gospel of John really focuses on the conversations that Jesus had with his disciples just before his death, burial, and resurrection. And these conversations really give us a snapshot into not only what Jesus was thinking, but also Jesus was trying to give some instructions to his disciples because he knew his time was about to end here on earth. And so when we get to John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples and he prepares them and he warns them and he lets them know that I am about to leave, that I am about to return back to my Father, to my kingdom, and I am going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also will join me at some point. Jesus was letting them know that the time has come for me to leave planet Earth, but I'm leaving it so that I could go and prepare a place for you so you can join me. Now, obviously, with the disciples, right, there was a lot of shock and awe. And so they were confused, wondering, wait a minute, what's going on here? What are you talking? Jesus, what are you talking about? You're going to be leaving us. And so Thomas was like, Jesus, we don't even know where you're going. And I can imagine Jesus just sitting there massaging his head like, man, again. I mean, I've been walking with you guys for 3 years and you're still confused? And Thomas said, well, show us the way. And Jesus says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one goes to the Father except they come through me. And then Philip said, well, just show us the Father, Jesus. We'll be cool after that if you just show us the Father. And Jesus was like, oh, God. Father, why these? Couldn't you have chosen another 12 for me? Why these? Have you not been with me for this long of a time? You're still asking me these same questions? I and my Father are one. The Father is in me, and I am in him. We are one. And so obviously there's still some confusion and the disciples are probably going back and forth with Jesus like, look, you can't leave, Jesus. No, don't come. I mean, we had a great ride, Jesus. What are you talking about? I mean, we was able to get free food and we was able to, you know, if we had any sicknesses, you would heal. I mean, I'm sure they were wondering, like, what are they going to do with their lives? And then this takes us to John 14. Verse number 16. Jesus recognizes and he sees probably their confusion and their bewilderment, their worry and their concern that he was about to leave. And he says to them, don't worry, because I am going to send you someone who is going to help you. And this is where verse number 26 really gives us a greater description of what the responsibility and the role and the function of the Holy Spirit really is. And so I want to spend the next few moments with you talking about the resurrection power of Jesus demonstrated through the Holy Spirit that will help us live transformative lives. In order to do that, I would like to talk to you about two purposes of the Holy Spirit. Two functions of the Holy Spirit working within each of us. The first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to teach. The first purpose of the Holy Spirit that we see Jesus saying in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 26, is that the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you all things. Not some things, not partial, but all things. Now, I know some of you think you got it going on like that and you are God's greatest gift to the world and the world cannot survive without you, that you are sharper than any two-edged sword and that you're smarter than anybody that ever lived. But guess what? You are not. If you feel that way, this message is definitely for you. Because original sin has tainted our mind, and the whole concept of original sin, I wish I had enough time to really explain it and go into detail about it, but I don't, because we are born into sin. And as Paul said, we are shaped in iniquity. And because of that, our original propensity is to go against God, the way of God, the will of God, the word of God. And so because of that, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us and to instruct us and to enlighten us and to guide us, to help us live the life that God wants us to live. It is the Holy Spirit. When we see the copy paper at our jobs and we say to ourselves, well, it's okay to take that copy paper. No one will miss it. I mean, besides, they got 27 boxes already over there. So if I just take a little bit of copy paper, I mean, that's not. But it's the Holy Spirit that says, wait a minute. Right? Now, sometimes we disregard the Holy Spirit. We ignore the Holy Spirit. We do what we want to do because we feel like we're big and bad enough to do it. But the Holy Spirit is there to warn us and to teach us and to let us know when something is not right. Because it is the job of the Holy Spirit to transform our thinking, to transform how we rationalize, to transform how we act. The Apostle Paul really gives us a greater snapshot really into what the Holy Spirit does. In Romans chapter 8, if we can go to Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us in verse number 4, part B, he says, now we don't live following our sinful selves, meaning original sin had corrupted our thinking, had corrupted our actions. And now, because of the resurrection power of Jesus, we have to die to ourselves. And as a result of us dying to ourselves, we no longer live according to our sinful selves. We live following the Spirit, meaning our function, our design now, because of the resurrection power of Jesus working within us, is to live according to the Spirit. People who live following their sinful selves think only about what they want. Now, Pastor Elijah, we could spend 10 weeks talking about people following what they want. Because that's what we do, right? It's not about what God was, right? How many of us just wake up in the morning like, hey, God, I just want to follow your will? Or how many of us just plan out our days and say, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to do this, 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 and this. Because we live our lives following what we want. And we hope and pray, and sometimes we don't even care. That's what God wants too. And if he doesn't want it, then God, guess what? You need to join the program because something must be wrong with you. Because as Paul says, we, many people, live their lives following their sinful selves. And they think only about what they want. But those who live following the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, are thinking about what the Spirit wants them to do. If your thinking is controlled by your sinful self, there is spiritual death. But if your thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. What is true? What is this true? Because anyone whose thinking is controlled by their sinful self is against God, meaning you are an enemy of God. If you live according to your sinful self, then you have already declared war against God. They refuse to obey God's law. And really, they are not able to obey it. But those who are ruled by their sinful selves, can I please God? But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. You are ruled by the Spirit if that Spirit of God is really living in you. This is what makes the Christian journey so difficult. Because every single day of our lives, those who are a part of this sacred community, we have to crucify ourselves daily. It is a struggle to not live according to ourselves. Now, I know some of y'all are too sanctified and sadiddy. You feel like it is not hard for me. And that's cool. That's good. But for the rest of us, it is a struggle. It is a struggle. Even the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I don't even understand my actions because the things that I want to do and I should be doing, I don't do. And the things that I know I'm not supposed to be doing, I end up doing them. Because in this life, we have to constantly crucify ourselves that keeps coming up and say, no, you need to think this way. You need to do it just like everybody else. But it's the Holy Spirit and the working and the transformative power of the resurrection that is within us that allows us to live and to think differently. And then there's the second purpose. The second purpose of the Holy Spirit, which is to remind. The second purpose of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of what Jesus said. Now, this is where the Greek word hypostasis really comes in and really helps us to understand the gravity and the weight of what Jesus is telling his disciple, but he says to bring to your remembrance, to remind you. What Jesus in essence is saying is that you already have a knowledge of this, but in certain moments, you forget. In certain moments, right, when somebody catches you on the wrong day, and they say something and they cuss you out, guess what you want to do? You want to cuss them out too. As a matter of fact, you want to make up some cuss words. You want to give them a piece of your everlasting mind. But what Jesus does is he says that the Holy Spirit, even though you know what you are supposed to do, in certain moments, you forget. And it is the Holy Spirit working within you that says, no, bless those who curse you. Pray for them who despitefully use you and come against you and persecute you. Right? When somebody hurts your feelings, when somebody harms you and comes against you, right? What do you want to do? You want to enact vengeance on them. I mean, you start plotting and planning in your mind. Now, I know I ain't the only one, so look, don't y'all be in here acting all sadistic, because I know, right? You start plotting and planning, and you start figuring out how you gonna get them back. But it's the transformative power of the resurrection demonstrated through the Holy Spirit working in us that reminds us what the word said, that vengeance is the Lord. I will repay alone. And as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, the last verse, he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with the greater power of good. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will remind us and help us understand in those moments when we forget about the word and the will and the way of God. It is the Holy Spirit that says, no, you're not going down the right path. No, I know you want to do this, and I know you are hurt, and I know you are feeling pain right now. I know you feel betrayed. But I want you to be like Jesus, who even though he was crucified, for those people he was dying on the cross for, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nobody should have felt more betrayed than Jesus. Because that sounds like the voice of God, right? Speaker, right? Right? Getting our attention. No, just kidding. Nobody was more hurt than Jesus. But even in his moment of hurt, even in his moment of pain and agony, he still can say with great certainty, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As the praise team comes, there's nothing else from this message that you need to glean. There's nothing else from these series of messages that Pastor Elijah has brought before the congregation. I want you to remember this, that the transformative power of Christ's resurrection is expressed in this, that we should have more of God. More of his character. More of his goodness. More of his forgiveness. More of his anointing. More of his Holy Spirit. See, having more of God not only enables us to meet the challenges and the difficulties and the struggles that we face on a daily basis, Not only does it allow us to live triumphantly for him, but it also allows us to be a light to the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus gives each of us the clarion call that he wants us to embrace as believers. He asks each of us, those who want to be his followers, those who want to live according to his word, his way, and his will. He says to them, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works with the ultimate goal, the ultimate plan, the ultimate desire to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That is our desire. Our desire should be to live in such a powerful way because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in us that people will see something unique and different about us and say to themselves, how can I have that same joy? How can I have that same peace that surpasses all understanding? How can I be like them? And by doing so, glorify our Father in heaven. Now, there may be some of you, if you have not accepted the resurrection power of Jesus into your lives, now is an opportunity. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart knocking. He's asking, he's wanting more from you. He wants you to unlock the door. Let him in. Because in doing so, he will work something special and unique in you that will transform you and change you and give you something that you never thought you could have before. It is the word of God. And that word would do something unique in you that you will never be the same again. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this word. This word that allows us to understand that your Holy Spirit is working to do in us. We pray, Lord God, that your word will sink deep inside of our hearts, that it will speak to us, that it will teach us, that it will remind us of what you have promised us, that you will always be with us even into the end of the world. And even when we get confused and we get angry and we get frustrated and the world comes down on us, that it is your word, that it is your Holy Spirit will remind us and give us the power to know that everything's going to be all right because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen.